1-800-592-5577.
WWNN, Pompano Beach.
I'm Ken Healy from Intervention 911. Every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can listen to John Hollis and myself on Holistic Lifestyle Radio Show, Ask the Interventionist. Millions of Americans suffer from some form of addiction that affects the people that love them. I want to take this opportunity to help their families and friends understand the addiction and fight it with all the tools necessary and get their loved ones and them into a program of recovery. Again, this is Ken Seeley. I look forward to answering your questions live on Monday nights, 10 p.m. on Holistic Lifestyle Radio. Or you can also email your questions by going to holisticlifestylesradio.com. I look forward to hearing from you and fighting this war on addiction together.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and BlogTalkRadio.com. Now, today's program.
All right, welcome to tonight's show, and you're listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. I'm John Hollis, and of course, it's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure and an honor to be working with interventions every Monday night and to be able to carry a message of hope that might not necessarily be heard. So we look forward to having this go on, and we have been working with a family over the last 2 weeks, and of course, Ken has eloquently been able to carry a message of hope to these folks to get their family member to a point where he actually went into detox this past week, and now getting ready to go into long-term treatment at St. Luke's Treatment Center in Miami, who has made a bed available, their next bed available on the 18th of May. So we're looking forward to, of course, getting him in there. But there's going to be about a week lag time. And Ken, are you with me?
I'm here, John. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, we got to Joe's in detox, as you know, and he's getting ready to, of course, go to St. Luke's, but there's going to be about a week lag time, and of course, you had suggested that a contract go into place, not only for the week time period, but most importantly for ongoing recovery, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. There's everybody that is in recovery should have a contract with their families.
Can you kind of give an outline on what that is, so that way when we get the family back on the phone and go over it, they'll kind of understand because they are on the line listening at this time?
Yeah, it's just a contract saying that you will be compliant with a program of recovery, and normally that is with what your discharge planner is asking you to do when you leave treatment. So when he leaves treatment or detox, whatever they're asking, normally I would definitely say it would be a meeting a day, you know, and if he's not working, maybe two meetings a day, and checking in with someone where he is being accountable and making sure that he is following a road of recovery versus falling back into his addiction. And if he chooses not to be compliant with a program of recovery, we set up some consequences that we put into place that are pretty aggressive.
And over the years that you've been doing this, has that been something that you felt that has worked in the long run?
Yeah, you figure out something that means something to the person that is suffering from the addiction, and you start, you know, working with the family and working with the person with the addiction and really creating a scenario that you would say, as the addict, as me being the addict, I would rather be compliant working my program of recovery versus non-compliant and being out in my disease. And if I am non-compliant, these are going to be the consequences in my life.
Yeah, and those consequences, of course, can be anything from family members cutting them off to, different things like, we're not going to support any of your financial endeavors. We're not going to do anything for you. You're on your own type of thing.
Yeah, and right up to even turning them in for legal consequences for, getting a Marchman Act put into place. I mean, there's many different things that we could move forward on, if he chooses not to be compliant in this week. I mean, we already have records from a detox center stating that, he needs this recovery and there is a bed waiting for him. So, if he chooses to be non-compliant, the family could move forward with going to the detox center and getting the doctor and a family member to sign a document to get him Marchman Act.
Nice. So there is ways to be able to force the hand, so to speak.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we have Jill, his daughter, on the line with us, and we're going to get Jill on with us right now, and we're going to talk with Jill. And Jill, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
And Jill was with us last week, and is your brother with us too?
No, he's not here tonight.
Okay. And I just wanted to find out where you're at and how you're feeling and how your week went. Did you I understand your dad went into detox.
Yeah.
Did you understand? Okay, and you're pretty happy about that?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty proud of him. I mean, at first I didn't want him to know, that we were on the radio and stuff like that. And I haven't talked to him all week yet, so I haven't exactly known how he felt. And the fact that he went to detox tells me that he still wants to get better and that he still wants to, be able to help himself. So the fact that he's there just makes it a lot better. I mean, the week was hard because I was really upset the first couple days, but now I just feel a lot better. Now that he's going to be able to go somewhere to get more help, it's a relief.
And I understand we have his mom on the line too. And Jill, what's his mom's name?
Terry,
are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you? Thank you for joining us tonight. And Terry, you're on the phone with, of course, Ken Seely. Your granddaughter, Jill, is with us. And most importantly, what we're here to be able to talk about is tomorrow he's getting out of detox, and Ken is going to eloquently run you through how we're going to put together a contract tomorrow when we all get together, okay?
Okay.
So, all right, Ken. Okay. Ken, it's your show. Have at it.
All right. Well, nice to meet you, Terry. Good to talk to you again, Jill.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Exciting day, huh? Your son's getting help and your dad's getting help?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Really? And did you find out that he is going to be released tomorrow? Because, that's kind of what we thought when I dropped him off that it was going to be a 5-day detox, but I haven't heard,
My understanding is, yes, he will be getting out tomorrow. Let's get Kathy on the line. Kathy, are you with us?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Okay. Did you, I understand that he is getting out tomorrow. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
Not
right.
Positive, but I believe so.
Okay. Because either way, the bed is available at St. Luke's on the 18th. So, however long it takes, and more time in detox is better probably anyway. Correct, Ken?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
The longer they could keep them there, the better off we all are until the 18th. So.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that Kathy, because I had spoken with Kathy today and kind of putting everything together, and she kind of filled me in on some of the things that had taken place, and they were looking for a bed, and I ended up getting St. Luke's to take him. But one of the things that Kathy's concern was that she wanted to bring him home with her, but she was really, tell Ken how you're feeling, Kathy, because I think it's important that you share how you're feeling, and your mom shares, and Jill shares about how you're feeling about him coming back.
What I had said today is that if he had to stay home, obviously, for a week before getting into St. Luke,
that there would be some hesitation because this wouldn't be the first time that myself or my mother or somebody's taken him in the home for the interim. As a matter of fact, he had some sober time once before where I took him not only in my home, but we helped him secure a job and brought him to meetings with us and things of that nature. And, you know, when it doesn't work out and you have expectations, naturally your heart breaks each and every time. So there's that whole thing. And if he stays with my mother, you know, I have to be concerned about that as well because, you know, recently he would be taking things from her, like her medications and whatnot and things like that. So it's a scary situation is what it is.
I agree 150%. It is really scary because you never know where he's going to be once he's through the detox. He may have surrendered to recovery and he may not have. But if you remember that, do you remember that when we went through the definition of a rock bottom helps model?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to set up a scenario that if he chooses not to get, you know, to be compliant, when you go pick him up, when you go to the detox center and you meet with the discharge planner, whoever's there to release him, whatever their recommendations are, and I don't know what they're going to recommend, but I'm pretty sure it will be a meeting every day. You know, they usually when you get out of treatment, it's 90 meetings in 90 days. So we're only worried about a week because we got to keep them, you know, stable for, you know, until the 18th. So if they're recommending a meeting a day, maybe we turn that up to two meetings a day if, you know, he's physically capable, you know, and there's meetings in the area where he could go to them. But I would say that he stays compliant with that discharge plan. And if he's non-compliant, again, the only reason he's going to stay compliant is because there's going to be aggressive consequences on the other end. You know, if there's no consequences, then why would he? You know, if he's going to be able to go back to mom's and, you know, take something so he could go buy some more alcohol, I mean, that's a lot easier. But if there's consequences, as we talked about, if we raise the rock bottom and we do it in that loving, you know, respectful manner and say, hey, we're going to give you this opportunity. But I think the most important thing I want you to hear and want you to know is that you have the power. You know, I want to empower the families through this process. I want you to know that you hold all the power. By him coming out of detox, he's seen a physician. And that physician, all you need is that physician's, you know, signature with the family members, and you go down to the court and you could Marchman Act him. He will have to do that treatment.
So there's a lot of follow-up stuff here, Ken, that we can actually do, and that's a great point. What are some of the things that we can put into written form while we're sitting in front of him tomorrow when he gets out, and we can say to him, hey, listen, you know, these are the things that we want you to follow through with. We want you to make the meetings that they have recommended. So we want to basically use what the detox center has used as a referral or what they want to do as an aftercare plan, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, exactly what they say. We ask him if he understands it. Do you understand what this means? It's not coming home and sitting on the couch and doing whatever you want. This is what they're recommending, you know, for this week. Are you going to be compliant with it? Because again, you got to earn that trust back. So if he says yes, then okay, you could give him the gift of coming back in for that, you know, short period of time. But if he chooses to be non-compliant with what that discharge plan says, again, own that power because you could get him, you know, back into treatment. You could go to the court and say on the 18th and say he has a bed waiting for him at this treatment center, and if he refuses, then all you have to do is give the police his whereabouts and they will arrest him. And he'll show up in front of a judge And the judge will say, do you want to go to jail or do you want to go to this treatment center?
And that takes care of a lot of other issues that he's dealing with, too, if that does take place.
Uh-huh.
So would you? So at this point, Ken, when we do get him out, what we can do, Kathy and Jill, what we can do is sit down and actually go through everything step by step with him that, you know, he understands what he needs to do. He needs to make meetings. He's going into treatment. If he wants the family support and he wants the family to stand behind him and he wants the love of his daughter that is unconditional, that she's willing to stand behind him in anything that he does, as long as he's sober, then he has to do some things, and that is make meetings each day. You know, he can't just be laying around. He has to be engaged in some kind of, you know, treatment for his addiction until he gets into St. Luke's, which, again, will be a three-month treatment program. So, and I think long-term is probably what he should have. Wouldn't you agree, Ken?
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the 90 days he gets?
Yeah, 90 days. 90 days.
Yeah, and remember, you know, Jill and Terry and Kathy, remember, the 90 days is only the tip of the iceberg. That's only the beginning. You know, we need to, when he gets out of treatment, whatever their discharge plan at the end of the 90 days, again, you put a family contract together. And remember, it's remember the HELPS model, because whatever that is going to identify what the rock bottom is. And then if he's non-compliant, if he ever picks up a drink again, you know, you guys have to become unified to act in a way that he feels like, I would rather be in recovery, working my steps, working with my sponsor, versus this life that my family has on the other side. Because the consequences need to be painful enough that he wants to be in recovery.
Does everybody understand what Ken's talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mom.
Yes. And I'm totally flabbergasted. I did not realize that St. Luke's was a 90-day program. You're giving him a wonderful opportunity, and I certainly hope that he does remain compliant. And it's just a great opportunity for him to turn around.
And one of the things that, you know, they're going to be able to do while he's in treatment is at St. Luke's, they have the mental health aspect of it. If there is mental health issues, they're going to be able to deal with them. They're going to be able to give him the one-on-one therapy. They are a Hazleton model program. So, they're definitely is going to be a lot of substance for him. And they're going to help him to integrate back into getting a job. And they even have St. Luke's apartments afterwards where you can actually be there for up to a year. So it's a great program. They gave us a great opportunity to let him go there. So I just want to thank St. Luke's, of course, and also DAF, Drug Abuse Foundation took him in with open arms. So I want to thank both of those places for doing what they did for us. And Ken, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break. Guys, I want to thank you. We're going to follow up with you in a couple of weeks, maybe a month. We're going to, just follow up and see how everything's going. But I want to thank you guys for being a part of the show. And, Jill, I want to thank you for showing the courage that you've shown.
It's all right.
I would say that's a lot of courage, wouldn't you, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. And remember, you always know how to get a hold of me. If he's ever non-compliant, you know, we have the tools. We could get him back into compliancy and working his program of recovery.
Okay, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys calling in.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes.
It's okay, and God bless all of you, and we'll be talking soon, and I'll be following up with everybody, okay?
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, good night.
Good night.
My name is John Hollis, and of course I'm with Holistic Lifestyles Radio, and we want to talk about Crossroads of Antigua, helping people take the first step towards change. Do you know somebody struggling with addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs? Crossroads Center of Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification treatment and continuing care services within a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Mr. Clapton, Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Call now for a free, confidential assessment and speak with one of course, their admission counselors. Give them a call at 877-318-8834 or check out the website at crossroadsantigua.org. And remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving.
My name is Janice, and I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. Willard Water is a pretty big deal around these parts. I've been using Willard Water for many years, and I can honestly say it's changed my life. A few years ago, I developed some early symptoms of arthritis. Over time, my pain got worse and worse. I went to my doctor. He prescribed the usual assortment of drugs and therapies, but they did little or nothing to alleviate the pain. I kept thinking, I'm too young to have this much pain, to be confined to a rocking chair for the rest of my life. So I soaked my hands in Willard Water, and it relieved my pain. In no time, I was back to living a healthy, happy life. We're expecting our first grandchild soon. Thanks to Willard Water, I'll be able to lift him up and enjoy our playtime.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today. Toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. I'm John Hollis, and it's a pleasure to be here again tonight. Ken, welcome back to the show, and of course, let's just talk about a little bit about what took place, the overall big picture with the family members. And you know, I think everybody's going to stand firm, but do you think at times that there is wavering with the family and they kind of need that extra support?
You know, great question, John, because I think there's about 90% of the families that I work with, there's wavering, and they don't own that power. They second guess it, and then they fall back into the victim mode, and you know, feel like there's nothing they could do. But they have that power within them. I mean, we could get people the treatment they desperately need if we stay unified as a front, as their environment. You know, as the addict's environment, we could make it turn into a reality. But they have to own it. They have to believe it.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think it gets to a point where, you know, if they and again, if it continues to happen as far as him going back out, sooner or later, death happens. And people really need to understand the consequences of an addict continuing to go back out usually leads to death. I mean, not unless he gets saved by some municipality somewhere.
And without consequences, I don't care how good of a treatment center this is going to be for him and how much help he gets at St. Luke's. If he doesn't have, if he hasn't hit his rock bottom, it's going to be a waste of time. And the family has the power to create that rock bottom. And that's the message I really want to get out there is that, you know, own that power, you know, stay solid with that and unified, and you could create the rock bottom, because without it, the person doesn't really have a chance. And one of the things that I wanted to point out before we go to the next caller was, you know, I personally have, you know, a great example, and I think everybody, I don't care if you have, you know, 30 days clean, one day clean, or over 20 years as I do, I think you should have consequences put on the other side that if you are non-compliant in a program of recovery, these are your consequences. And for me personally, if I pick up a drink or a drug, my family has complete rights over me, where I sign over my business, I sign over my bank accounts, I sign over my property, I sign over everything to my family, because I know that the addiction will rob me from all of that. And it's where I put myself into a corner where I have no other option except to check into treatment, period. And I think we all should have that in recovery.
And I think you're absolutely right. We all get an opportunity to, you know, like this. It only comes around once in a while. See, we run out of opportunities. And I know at the end of my addiction, I ran out of good opportunities. And I ran out of the opportunity to have, you know, a solid foundation put under me, because, again, I had burnt all my bridges. And I'm sure you see that in everything that you're doing. You know, you must see people that, you know, try an attempt, and then, of course, they burn their bridges, and people don't want to have them back because, again, they don't see them really putting forth any effort.
And they're being, you know, they're really the victims of the disease, the loved ones. You know, as I just loved what Kathy was saying about Terry, you know, oh, great, he's going to come back home. Joe's going to come back to mom's and start robbing mom again. I mean, they're the victims of the disease. But the message that I'm hoping that we're able to get across to the listeners and to the public is that there's no more being victims. We hold the power. We could fight this addiction until the addict's ready to fight. You know, let's raise the rock bottom. Let's set up consequences, ultimatums. You know, that's what the addict calls them. I like to call them healthy boundaries. Let's become unified, create healthy boundaries where that addict, the disease, is not allowed to live. We are not going to create an environment that disease is going to be allowed to live within our family dynamics.
Well, you know something, Ken? We're going to take another small break, and when we come back, we're going to have Christy and her family out of Arizona, and they're going to be talking to us for about the next half an hour in regards to a situation that they're dealing with at this point. And we'll look forward to coming back here with Christy and her family out of Arizona. Of course, Ken Seeley from Intervention 911. We'll be back right after this message.
Talk about Crossroads of Antigua, helping people take the first step towards change. Do you know somebody struggling with addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs? Crossroads Center of Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services within a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Mr. Clapton, Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Call now for a free, confidential assessment and speak with one of course, their admission counselors. Give them a call at 877-318-8834 or check out the website at crossroadsantigua.org. And remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving.
My name is Joanne. I'm from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And I've been using Willard water for more than 15 years. My husband and I are very careful about our nutrition. We eat organic food, try to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and we drink Willard water every day. I'm 65 years old. My husband is 64. We're in fantastic shape. Willard Water plays a key role in our good health. Willard Water helps the body absorb more of the vitamins and nutrients we need for good health. It's also full of natural minerals. I'm here to tell you what thousands of others around the world already know. Willard Water works. If you care about your health, you'll go out and buy some today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today. Toll free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com.
You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
To Ken Shealy from Intervention 911, and we want to thank you for tuning in with us tonight, and most importantly, we want to thank Ken for being with us. He just got done a long flight from the East Coast back to L.A., and he made it a point to be with us, and I know you'd rather be sleeping after this last trip, huh, Ken?
Yeah, and then I'm off tomorrow afternoon to London to an addiction conference.
Wow. So jet lag is your middle name at this point.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, exactly.
So, but hey, here's the good news. Lots of people are being helped, and you're getting, what's the conference going to be about?
An addiction conference over in London. They're doing, I think it's their third annual conference, so I'm going over there to sit on a panel.
Great. Well, you'll have to give us more information when you get back next week. Tell us how it was. I have a lady out of Arizona. Her name is Christy, and let me give you a little fast, informational on this. Last night we got a phone call. I was in the office late. Of course, the show got done last night at midnight, and we were in the office until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. And Christy called in, and she has a family member that has an issue, and we're going to talk to Christy right now. Christy, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You're on the phone with Ken Shealy. Why don't you tell Ken what's going on with your family and with your loved one, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin. I'm a former meth addict myself. Been clean, did it on my own, been clean for about a year and a half, 2 years. She's 21 and a half. My sister, well, let me put it this way. My sister and her, I'll go back a little bit. My sister, her, and another niece of mine back in 1998, December 21st of 1998, were in a car accident where my 13-year-old niece died. And it was a one-car accident. My sister is diabetic. She has this since she was 16. After the accident, she basically blamed herself She felt bad for my niece. She treated my niece. When they moved down here, she gave in to my niece all the time. My niece steady burned bridges along the way. My mother, you know, was always upset with her. She started taking pills from my sister, would yell at my sister, you know, just make my sister feel really bad until she gave her the pills, gave in to her. I let my niece live with me at one point, you know, trying to help her out. And that's, of course, we were both using. I got my wife clean, you know, for my kids and my family, and she moved out. I told my sister at points that, you know what, if she kept doing stuff for my sister, I mean for my niece, that one of two things was happening because she wasn't taking care of herself at all. My sister was either going to die and my niece was going to be left alone, or my niece is going to die and my sister would feel even more guilty and she would end up going too. And sure enough, back on September 21st of 2009, my sister passed away. My niece is in jail, and to be honest with you, my niece would bring my sister around these people who were not people that I would ever have my family around. Period. I mean, I wouldn't bring drug dealers or anything around my house, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't bring it around my kids, nothing. She would bring them over to my sister's house. They would steal stuff from my sister's house. They stole over $10,000 worth of stuff from my sister and her husband. They never pressed charges against her, nothing. My sister kept bailing her out of jail. Anytime she goes to jail, spent well over $4,000 in bail alone. No, well, I'd say about $10,000, to be honest with you, bailing her out. My niece, you know, she was in jail at the time my sister passed away. We didn't know exactly what had happened. It was really devastating. It was the worst thing I ever had to deal with. I'll tell you that, to tell my kids that their aunt was gone. We got the police report and everything, and me and my mother, because this has killed my mother. My mother thought that as soon as my niece found out that she would stop the drugs and, you know, and that would make her, you know, that everything would make it okay. And my niece even told my mom when she got out of jail, my niece told my mom, she said, promise me you won't go back to doing that. And she said, I promise. And my mom was happy. My mom was like, okay, good, you know. And my mom really wanted to be there for my niece now because she knew she had to for my sister. And my niece came over here on my birthday on October 18th. And I tried to tell her, you know, I've even called, to be honest with you, let me go back again. When my sister was alive, we tried to get her help. I even went to the point of writing into intervention to see about getting her help because I didn't want to see this going with my sister. I knew how it was. Like, she was tearing her apart. I didn't want to see my niece hurt. I didn't want to see anything happen to her. Well, my niece, of course, started going back to the drugs. I could tell she was on drugs at my house when she was here, and I told her she couldn't be around me like that. My niece has been calling my mom. You know, if she needs money, if she needs a ride, if she needs anything, she'll call my mom. She'll call my mom for anything else. I should call my mom, and my mom has gotten to the point where I know, you know, I've told her, I won't let this happen to my mom. I'm not going to let this happen to my mom where it kills my mom like it did my sister. And the last time I talked to her was back in December, and she called me, and she asked me how I was doing, how the kids were. And she called me, and the last thing she was, I said, what are you doing? She's like, looking for money for my rent. And she's never in a steady place. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help that. I have my own rent, my own kids, you know, I got to take care of. And the phone went dead. And that was the last time I heard from her. And I don't want her bringing in those people around my mom's house either. But she's at the point where I don't know what to do for anymore, and it's hurting my mom, I know. You know, she has warrants, we see it online. And like I said before, I truly believe that when my sister passed away, it was due to my niece owing someone money because there were things that were done, and my sister, I heard that my sister was afraid of somebody that was coming around And I think my sister just gave up and let go because she couldn't deal with the being scared anymore. She couldn't deal with my sister, my niece's drug friends, and she had my niece. She took her over there, and there was a drug guy over there that stuck a gun in my sister's head before because she confronted this girl about taking my niece that passed away, taking the jewelry out of her house, that one. And a guy stuck a gun to my sister's head. And my niece still kept doing it.
So is your niece in jail right now? I'm kind of confused. I thought she was in jail.
I wish she was.
So she's
not in jail. She has a warrant. Me and my mother know because we look online all the time. I wish she was in jail, to be honest with you. That's the best place, I think, for her. Because she told me straight up when I told her, I talked to her before, she said, or tried it before when her mom was alive. She told me straight up she wouldn't go. It wouldn't do her any good. You know,
is she on parole, or is there any other, you know, you say there's a warrant out for her arrest?
Yeah, for false identification and not paying her fine for something else, but it's like about $1,500 for those two alone. But that's just it too. We don't know from day to day, you know, if she's alive, if she's dead, if she's where she's at. I mean,
well, they're the type of charges that she'll end up doing, like maybe, you know, a week and they'll let her go.
Exactly.
So is she in contact with your mother? Because you're saying that she's kind of
every now and then. I'm sorry, no, I'm going here. I'm kind of nervous, but every now and then she'll call my mom. My mom sometimes won't answer. If she doesn't know the number, just because she knows my niece is going to ask her for money. My mom, you know, she'll make my mom feel guilty, and my mom will sit there and think about it, and I'm afraid she'll do it, and she'll just calm down too. She's here and there, and she's basically everywhere, but I think my mom said she did call from another number 2 nights ago. Because my mom will call me and give me the numbers it calls from. But
okay.
I mean, I don't know what to do anymore. I really don't.
Okay.
I can't disappear my family part.
Okay, I'm going to give you a suggestion, but it's going to take some work on your part because you're going to have to get, you know, involved with the courts and the judges that are that put out the warrant for her. If you were to go to the courthouse and find out, you know, who the judge is that has these warrants out for her arrest, and to figure out in your county, in your city that you live in or that the warrants are in, what kind of drug treatment program they have in that community. And once you find out what kind of program they have, contact them. As John just said, I was just in New York. I was at the Brooklyn drug treatment program for the court's celebration. And all the different boroughs had, you know, judges that were there participating in this celebration for, you know, the drug court program. So drug court is an incredible program. You know, jail isn't going to help her. If she's addicted to drugs, jail isn't going to help her. But if you find out who the judge is, the judge could then, in turn, once they find her, the judge could have her, hold her in contempt, and then turn her over to drug court. But they will need a letter from the family stating all the past history, you know, all the information that you have on her, giving the judge a letter stating all the different things of why you believe she needs, you know, drug treatment and why it needs to be turned over to drug court, contacting the people at drug court saying, I really want my niece in this program. How do we go about it? Then once you have all your ducks in order, once you have everything lined up, contacted the judge, you contacted that has the warrant out, you contacted the drug court that, you know, is in your community, you figure out what you know, what the process is to get it her transferred over to the drug court program. Then what you do when she contacts your mom or she contacts anybody in the family, you set it up where you say, let me meet you at Denny's down the street. I'm worried about you. I want to see you. And then once she's there, you ask her if she's willing to get help. And if she says no, you could call 911 and have her picked up for that warrant.
Yeah. And you can also tell her that you have a check in the mail for her. That always got me.
She's really a real quick test me. And I, like I said, I'm a former, I mean, I'm not as bad as she is, but I have to do it on my own because I have kids. And I can't have myself around that, and my kids miss her too. You know, that's the thing. I'll do whatever it takes. Now I see how it's like karma. You know, I see how my mother, you know, felt and how helpless my mother felt when I was doing this. But I never went to that extent, but
still.
So you know,
you understand the process, though? I think I heard enough of what's going on, but what I need to hear now is, you know, the steps that you need to take in order to save her life, because the addiction will kill her. You know, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a disease that kills. So, you know.
Exactly.
Do you have any other, you know, questions or any other, because we need to get her into a treatment program. I mean, you were fortunate that, you know, you stopped because you hit your rock bottom. Your rock bottom were your kids. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about going to the courts and doing that, but I definitely, yes. And I'll definitely talk to my mom. I'm getting ready to go over to my mom's house, as a matter of fact, right now. And so I'll definitely talk.
Okay. So once you have, you know, your everything lined up, once you have, you know, you figure out where the court is that the warrant's held, you know, because that's where you want to call her up and say, meet me at Denny's. I have $20 for you, and I'm worried about you, and I want to get you some food. That's the county that you want to have her meet you in that the warrant's in. And then
she's
picked up, you'll have it already transferred that the courts already know that she needs drug treatment. She doesn't need jail. She needs treatment.
Yeah, true. True. You're exactly right. I guess jail was the whole process of this. At least we knew she was there. She would be, you know, we knew where she was. But you're right. And as a matter of fact, like I said, I'm going to go talk to my mom right now, and I think we'll head up to the court because I know exactly where it is. I know, you know, the court that it's at. And that's what I think me and my mother will probably do tomorrow, definitely. First thing in the morning, her and I, because, you know, this is just too much. We're ready to do this. So whatever it takes to get her help, we'll do it.
Is there any suggestions that you could give the family for their recovery? Because, again, you know, the whole family goes into recovery when you do this, you know. And is there any suggestions you can give to her and her mom that they might want to try for themselves to help them to kind of let go of this, like, bomb that's going off in their living room?
Yeah. The most important is that if mom could start making some Al-Anon meetings, and if you could bring her to the Al-Anon, and you may even want to – you said your drug of choice was crystal meth that you haven't had in a year or two?
Right, correct. And I have no urges, no nothing.
Well, if you might also want to try, you know, going to Crystal Meth Anonymous. It's a program that is for people that, you know, have had that addiction. That's my drug of choice also. And I don't have any urges, but I still go to meetings because, you know, it's funny that you're a caller this week, because I was thinking this past week is, you know, there's a lot of people out there in this world that have the addiction. They have the disease, and they're able to stop, as you have, on your own. And because you've hit a form of a rock bottom that means something to you that is so devastating, and you see the reality that if you don't change your behavior, there's going to be consequences for your kids, right?
Exactly. And
so you hit that rock bottom, but the negative in that, when you stop on your own, you don't get the benefits of the 12-step program. The 12-step program doesn't only help you with the urges, it gives you steps that you work. And, you know, every single one of us as human beings, we have dreams, you know, that, you know, we and hopes for our lives and our kids' lives and our families' lives. And working these 12 steps help you get closer to those dreams. And it's one of the most incredible programs and a gift that I have in my life and millions of people have in their lives. So, you know, it's almost like you were shortchanged by not being able to work the 12 steps. So if you don't feel comfortable going to Crystal Meth Anonymous because the urge is already stopped, you know, Al-Anon has the same 12 steps that you may want to work with your mom in order to help your niece.
Okay. I mean, I've thought about it before. It's just I never really, you know, knew where to go and where to start or if they had anything like that. But I can definitely do that, too, because I think you're right. I think it is something that, you know, me and my mother can go together, you know, and get help and find peace with ourselves, you know. It's hard, but we live it day by day. And unfortunately, my niece has a pill problem and a meth problem. That's the bad part. So I'm definitely going to do that. I'll do both of those. As a matter of fact, I'll get online tonight after I get back from my mom. And I'll find a meth program here. And an Al-Anon program also. But I'll definitely, I'm ready to do this. It's a time in my life I'm happier now than I ever have, and I want that for my niece, too. You know, we all deserve that.
Well, you know, I'm really glad, Christy, that you called in, and I'm really glad that, you know, Ken was able to give you an understanding. Is there any other questions that you might have? As far as are you not sure of something, you understand exactly everything he said, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely do.
Okay.
I don't think I have any other questions at this time. I thank you for giving me the time to you know, talk to you and find out what I need to do and to get the ball rolling to get her help.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, follow up with us and let us know how it goes for sure, okay?
I definitely will.
And you have a blessed night, and you know we'll have your family in our prayers, and I'm sure this is all going to work out. And you got the tools now. Now you need to use them.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Christy. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. And we have, of course, Christy just went off the line. And Ken, I wanted to let you know that we were planning on this being a 90-minute show tonight, and actually is starting next week that the 90-minute show's going to be in place. So it won't be 90 minutes tonight, but next week it's going to be 90 minutes, which means that we'll be dealing with different family members for the first hour, and then into the last half an hour we're going to take inbound live phone calls from anybody that has any questions in regards to anything that we might have been discussing that might have put a question mark in anybody's mind. So starting next Monday, the show will be a 90-minute show. Feel free to call in from the 11 o'clock to 11:30 Eastern Standard Time period and ask questions of Ken, because it seems like the first hour, Ken, has been really working with families that are in need.
Yeah, and it flies. It's great being able to answer these questions for these people.
Absolutely. We're actually in discussion right now of maybe doing something on Sunday night where we have 3-hour time span where we can actually run for 3 hours. I'm sure you would love that, huh, Ken?
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, we really appreciate you being a part of our show and making it your show and being a part of WNN 1470 AM and, of course, all of our streamlines. I want to thank Crossroads Center of Antigua for, of course, making this possible, along with Sound Pillow, the sponsors of tonight's show. And we want to thank Willard Water, also a sponsor of tonight's show. Without those folks, me and Ken would be sitting here talking to each other on the phone.
Yeah, right?
So, Ken, listen, thanks a lot. Safe trip to England, and And when you get back, we'll have another great show, and I'm sure that, at that point we'll have a lot of that last half an hour, we want to make sure that we have a lot of phone callers asking you a lot of different questions, and we're going to put that in play next Monday night right here on Ask the Interventionist Live with Ken Seeley of Intervention 911. Ken, anything you want to say to the listeners before we go out?
No, just have a great week, and I look forward to helping another family.
Sounds great. We're going to look forward to having you back next week. And as always, if you're listening on InTheRooms.com or MySoberScene or VacancyLove.com or any of the other streamlines, we want to thank you for tuning in. And, of course, the listeners here locally on WNN 1470 AM, if you're driving around the car or listening to it at the house, we want to thank you for tuning in. Have a great couple of days here until Ken gets back, and we will be back on live tomorrow, Holistic Lifestyles Radio, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got a great show for tomorrow, so we'll look forward to having you back at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Thanks again, Ken, for being with us.
Thank you.
The Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, holisticlifestylesradio.com. That's holisticlifestylesradio.com. All broadcast rights to this program are the property of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Rebroadcast of any portion of this program without express written consent is prohibited. The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
John Hollis, and of course I'm with Holistic Lifestyles Radio, and we want to talk about Crossroads of Antigua, helping people take the first step towards change. Do you know somebody struggling with addiction to alcohol, prescription medication, or other drugs? Crossroads Center of Antigua provides comprehensive detoxification, treatment, and continuing care services within a holistic body, mind, and spirit approach to recovery. Founded by Mr. Clapton, Eric Clapton, Crossroads Center is recognized as one of the top 10 international programs for addiction services. Crossroads provides quality, affordable care for individuals and their families. Call now for a free, confidential assessment and speak with one of course, their admission counselors. Give them a call at 877-318-8834 or check out the website at crossroadsantigua.org. And remember, recovery is possible and is often life-saving.
My name is Nicole. I first tried Willard Water when I had a sore throat. I'd hoped drinking tea made with Willard Water would help soothe the pain. I didn't think my first cup would make a difference, but boy, was I wrong. The soreness was totally gone in no time. I love Willard Water. Scientists all over the world have studied it. Longtime users swear by it. It's non-toxic, has no side effects, and it makes me feel better when I drink it. I use Willard Water as part of my daily supplement routine. Willard Water helps my body absorb more of the vitamins and nutrients I need for good health. I only have one body, and I want to do whatever I can to take care of it.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
If you suffer from sleeplessness, Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can help you through periods of unease and restlessness with Sound Meditation Therapy, designed to help you reach a state of relaxation and to achieve the rejuvenating effects of a good night's sleep. This personal audio device can give you the ability to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming, soothing distraction from disturbing thoughts and silences. Sound Pillow Therapy allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy can also be a powerful tool for relapse prevention in the addiction field, becoming what one therapist called a positive addiction, providing a healthy alternative to addictive behaviors. Sound Pillow Meditation Therapy
provides new insights to recovering addicts about the source of their cravings, resentments, and fears. Let Sound Pillow Therapy become a daily recovery tool, regardless whether you're a newcomer or in long-term recovery. Sound Pillow can help the spirit and the mind to be centered. To have the peace of mind and the rest that leads to good mind, body, and spirit health, contact Sound Pillow today, toll-free, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. Or go online to soundpillow.com. Again, that's soundpillow.com. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, brought to you by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. For more information about the...